I have a list of words people say about cars, and I cannot tell which of them are the same thing wearing a different hat. Horsepower, 0-60, 2-liter, V8, top speed.
They are not a list. They are measurements, and every one of them is taken at a different place on the same journey.
What journey?
A mouthful of petrol goes in at one end, and the car moving comes out at the other. Every word you just said is a reading somebody took at one point along that route.
So horsepower is the one at the end, the final score.
Horsepower is about a third of the way along, and on its own it tells you very little.
That is already more than I had.
Then follow the fuel, start at the tank.
The tank being the thing I fill up.
60 liters or so, sitting under the back seats. That is the only number a tank has, and it answers exactly one question. How far you get between fill-ups.
And how far is that?
It depends how fast the engine drinks it. That is the other fuel number, miles per gallon, or liters per 100 kilometers, depending where you are. Tank size multiplied by that is your range, and range is the only thing either figure is really for.
And a big engine drinks more.
A big engine drinks more, and that is the running cost nobody prints on the poster next to the horsepower.
Is that what people mean by a 2-liter?
No, and that is the most common mix-up there is. The tank is the tank, 2-liter is the engine.
Then 2 liters of what?
Air and fuel. An engine is a set of metal tubes with a tight-fitting plug in each one. Squirt fuel and air into a tube, set fire to it, and the bang shoves the plug down the tube. Add up the space inside all the tubes, and that total is the engine size. 2 liters.
That is the whole engine, controlled explosions in tubes.
Thousands a minute, the rest is plumbing.
Then what is a V8?
How many tubes and how they are arranged? 4 tubes in a straight line is a 4-cylinder. 8 tubes in 2 banks of 4, leaning against each other in a V, is a V8.
So a V8 is faster?
Not necessarily, and this is where the folklore gets people. More cylinders mostly buys smoothness and a noise. A small 4-cylinder with a turbo will out-accelerate plenty of V8s.
Then why does anyone want one?
The noise, I am not being glib. That is the actual reason.
Fine, the bang has shoved the plug down the tube. Then what?
Every plug is joined to a bent metal bar running the length of the engine. The plugs shove down in turn, and the bar spins. That is the crankshaft, and it is where up and down becomes round and round. Everything past this point is spinning.
And this is where horsepower lives.
This is where 2 numbers live, and horsepower is made out of both of them. The first is how hard the bar twists. That is torque. It is the shove in your back.
And the second?
How fast the bar is going round. Revs, thousands of times a minute.
So horsepower is?
The twist multiplied by how fast it is twisting. That is all it is. It is not a third thing.
Then why does anybody quote both?
Because they peak in different places. A diesel gives you its shove low down, almost straight away. A small petrol engine has almost nothing until it is screaming, and then it goes. Same headline horsepower, completely different car to drive.
And why horses?
A man selling steam engines to people who owned horses needed to say how many horses he was replacing. The unit stuck. It has had nothing to do with horses for, well, over 200 years.
I did wonder.
One thing to watch for. You will see brake horsepower and PS and kilowatts. Those are one quantity in 3 units, and a brochure prints whichever gives the biggest number.
Naturally.
And then a turbo. That is a fan sitting in the exhaust, spun by gas on its way out, driving a second fan that rams extra air back in. More air lets you burn more fuel, so a small engine hits like a big one.
So the 2-liter stops meaning what it meant.
Which is why the number on the boot lid stopped meaning it too.
All right, the bar is spinning, send it to the wheels.
You cannot, and that is what the gearbox is for. An engine only works in a narrow band of revs. Below it, it stalls. Above it, it tears itself apart, and you need the car to do everything from a car park crawl to a motorway.
So the gearbox stretches the band.
The gearbox is a set of ratios. First gear takes a lot of engine turns to make one wheel turn, so you get an enormous shove and almost no speed. Top gear is the reverse. One lazy engine turn goes a long way, so you get speed and very little shove.
So gears make the car faster.
Gears add nothing whatsoever. They trade. Twist for speed, speed for twist, and the total never changes. That is the entire device.
That is not what I thought a gearbox was.
Most people expect something clever. It is a box of ratios and a way of picking one.
And more gears is better.
More gears keeps the engine inside its good band more of the time. That is why an 8-speed automatic feels smoother than an old 4-speed. Not more power. Less time spent outside the band.
Now can it reach the wheels?
Now it reaches the wheels, and which wheels is its own decision. Front-wheel drive sends it to the front pair, rear-wheel drive to the back pair, all-wheel drive to all four.
Does that change how fast it is?
It changes how much shove reaches the road before the tires give up, and what the car does when they do. It is a handling choice more than a speed one.
Then we are done, fuel in, car moves.
Not yet. Everything so far has been about pushing. You have not once asked what is being pushed. Wait, and wait quietly decides everything.
Nobody has ever quoted me a car's weight.
No, they have not, and it is the most useful number on the sheet. Take the horsepower, divide it by the weight, and you have power to weight, which predicts acceleration far better than horsepower ever will. A big engine in a heavy car is an ordinary car.
So 0 to 60 is really what?
The whole chain, divided by weight, and then limited by grip. It is the most quoted figure there is, because acceleration is the one thing you can feel without instruments.
And a smaller number is better.
Up to a point, and the point arrives early. The acceleration you can actually use on a public road ran out several decades ago. Past that, you are buying a figure rather than a capability.
So people pay for acceleration they will never use.
Constantly, that is not even a criticism. It is what the number is for.
You said grip was in the way.
Everything the car does, accelerating, braking, turning, happens in four patches of rubber, each about the size of your hand. That is the entire contact between 2 tons of machinery and the planet.
That is a horrible thing to know.
It is also why tires matter more than most of what people argue about.
And top speed, where does that come from?
Air, not the engine running out, the air winning. Shoving air out of the way gets brutally more expensive the faster you go. The last stretch of speed costs more power than everything underneath it.
So top speed is a vanity number.
It is a vanity number. And 0 to 60 and top speed are the same chain measured at two different ends of it.
Where does an electric car sit in all of this?
It deletes most of the map. No fuel and no tank. A battery instead, and its size is in kilowatt hours. That is the tank. No tubes, no bangs, no bent bar, and usually no gearbox at all.
No gears.
One gear. A motor is happy from a standstill all the way to very fast, so there is nothing to trade.
Then why do people say they feel quick?
Because the motor gives its full twist from zero. A petrol engine has to spin up first. That is the entire shove-in-the-back effect, and a completely ordinary electric family car will do it.
So it is just better.
It is much heavier. The battery is enormously heavy, so the weight divisor gets worse, and the tires and the brakes have more to fight. Quick off the line and expensive to stop.
So half the vocabulary stops existing.
Liters, cylinders, revs, gears, gone. What survives is kilowatts, kilowatt hours, and weight.
I want to say something, and I suspect you are going to agree with it.
Go on.
Every single thing you have described measures how hard the car goes in a straight line.
Yes.
All of it, the whole vocabulary, It is one axis.
You are right, and I am not going to soften it. Every number in the enthusiast vocabulary is about straight-line performance, because that is the part that is easy to measure and easy to print.
Then what decides whether a car is actually any good?
Whether it crashes over a bad road or glides across it, whether the seats are still comfortable 3 hours in, whether you can see out of it, whether the thing you touch 40 times a day irritates you, whether it breaks.
And how much horsepower is that?
None of those have a number. That is exactly why they are not in the conversation. They get words in a review from somebody who drove it for a week.
So when somebody recites horsepower at me,
they are telling you a number they can hold. It is not nothing. It is the one thing anybody wrote down.
I will take the map anyway.
Take the map. Every one of those words lands somewhere now, and that was the only thing wrong with them.